as we've been able to celebrate with our new arrivals, families, and as we get to celebrate Mother's Day today. It's a special day for me because I have my folks here today, and I haven't gotten to spend a lot of Mother's Days with my mom, so it's really special for me to be able to do that today. One of the greatest blessings of my life are my parents. And we have my dad, Jim Parker, here today with us, and he's going to speak for us here in just a minute. He's currently a preacher at the Northridge Church of Christ in Mount Pleasant, Texas. He's been there almost 30 years at the same congregation, and I could go on and on about things he's accomplished and things he's done, but I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to say he's the guy I want to be like when I grow up, and he's my favorite preacher, and I'm glad that he's able to be here with us today.
Well, he's my favorite son. How are y'all doing today? Good. Boy, y'all sing good. And coming here in Tommy is worth the price of admission. You know, just a dollar here and a dollar there. Always good to hear. Always good to be here. I guess I really, really picked the very best day. We got to bless a bunch of babies. I've heard several people talk about Mama's Day, which is very, very special. I just kind of felt like you had me here because I'm an expert on Mama's Day. I had the very best mama that you could imagine. And then I married the best mama. And then Russ married the best mama. And my daughter is a great mama. So I've been around really good mamas. So I know what I'm talking about. I just hope that you'll spend this day loving on your mama. Mine's not with us anymore. So take the opportunity to tell her how much you love her, please. Also, the real reason that we came was because Natalie graduated from Lipscomb yesterday. So we do have one smart person in the family. And I am so, so very proud of her and Ben. Ben, too. I could give you his grade point, but you'd laugh. So you are a very friendly congregation. If somebody didn't feel at home here, they wouldn't feel at home anywhere. So please keep that up. I wanted to bring you just sort of a message from heaven. Speaking about mamas, my mama used to say, "Well, heaven help us." And thanks, Mom, because heaven does help us. Many, 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 many times I've realized what God is doing in my life, and you should too. The reality of heaven is the greatest motivator that we have. In heaven, we get to be with God. In heaven, we get to be with Christ. In heaven, we get to be with all the redeemed from every age. Just imagine picking Paul's brain about 1 Corinthians 7 or so. Imagine. So heaven is a motivator, a mover of hearts. And I'm so blessed because I get to tell people not only how to be saved through the Lord Jesus Christ, but I get to tell people how heaven can change your heart, how heaven can change your lifestyle and make your situation here on the earth amazing. I've dreamed of heaven all of my life. I've dreamed about the streets of gold. If they're there or not, if I can just be around there, that'll be good. I've thought about what Jesus said when he said, "I go to prepare a place for you." And in my Father's house, there are many mansions. And I can't even get my mind around that. Because the eye hath not seen, neither has the ear heard, nor even entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. Just think, we get that. I've thought about singing all day. with Tommy leading the singing, I thought about the tree of life and about all of the people that I've read about and preached about there. And it's kind of kept me going. But I know that heaven may be a ways off. Not as long for me as for some of you, but it could be a ways off. So what can it do for me now? What can the reality of heaven? What about the faith that we have? Faith comes by hearing, doesn't it? And hearing by the Word of God. Can we read this book and feel so assured that we're going to be with God someday that it will direct our footsteps on this planet? I think so. I honestly do. Can heaven help me through the temptations that I know Satan is going to hammer me with today, tomorrow, or the trials? How many of you have stood at a gravesite and thought, wow, why? Why? Can heaven help me there? Can heaven help me to be a better man, a better daddy, a better husband? I believe it can. And I believe that that's one of the reasons why we get together in a place like this and we sing and we pray and we give and we study and we do all of these things so that we can be better. I know that we could, if I had my way, I would have done that, but I didn't even know how this works here. I would like for you to see that God is providentially involved in every life. So put providence up there. I would like for you to realize that the Holy Spirit, according to Ephesians 3 and verse 16, strengthens you every day. We may not know exactly how, but He does. I'd like for you to believe that the angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister unto the heirs of salvation. I don't even know what they look like, but they're there. I want you to believe in the church, believe in this family, believe in the ties that you have with one another. Help, support, love, forgive, because that's help that comes all the way from heaven. And doesn't the Bible say that the Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword? Doesn't God supply everything we need through His teaching that builds us up and motivates us and moves us? I want you to get your mind, wrap your mind around this lady that we've met in Mount Pleasant, Texas. Her husband ran off and left her. She's got four kids. Two of them are wild as Betsy bugs. Two of them are at home, but both of those that are at home are sick. She's just come back from the mailbox, and she's got an eviction notice. She has to pay or she has to leave. And she's going to fix spaghetti and put a little bit of ketchup on it for about the fourth or fifth day in a row because that's all she has. How can we help her? Somebody says, well, pay her rent. Yeah, we could do that. We could fill her refrigerator up full of food. We could help her, hopefully, with the kids. But let me tell you what's better. Spiritual things are better. And this comes straight from heaven. God said, all things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. God said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18, I reckon that the suffering of this present world is not even worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. If somehow, brethren, we can change her heart, we can change her life. And that's what God's Word does. That's what God's providence does. That's what comes straight from heaven. Now, think about this. Not too long after the tsunami hit Indonesia, it took the relief workers 3 days to get in there. When they got in there, one of them said they found this woman. And she was sitting on her porch, what was left of it. The house was gone, nearly gone. She was crying. 3 days. Out in front of her was nothing but devastation. There were dead bodies everywhere. There was a stench that you could barely stand. No food. Everybody seemed to be sick. And she had lost her baby in that tsunami. What are you going to say to that lady? How are you going to fix it? You think you can build her a house and make it all better? Here's what God said. God said, don't fix your eyes on what is seen. Fix your eyes on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporal. What is unseen is eternal. Brethren, if we can change her heart to believe in God, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can help her to see that there is an unseen glory that surpasses all of the pain and hurt that she suffered in this life. Do you believe that? I believe that. Go back to 2001, September the 11th. One of the most horrible days in American history. The World Trade Center knocked down by two airplanes, the North Tower and the South Tower. Another plane hit into the ground in Pennsylvania. And another plane, Flight 77, had one of our sisters on it. Her name was Ann Judge. Ann was working for some kind of a field project from National Geographic. And on that plane were a bunch of young kids who were going to California having some kind of a field trip. There were five men who had box cutters. One of those men strapped around their waist something that looked like dynamite. They don't really know exactly what it was, but they threatened to blow the plane up. That plane crashed into the Pentagon. More than 3,000 people on that day died because of radical extremism. What are you going to tell Ann's husband? What are you going to tell the moms and the dads of all of those kids who lost their lives that day? How about if you told them, don't lose heart? Because everybody goes through bad times. And if death is the worst that we have to face, then we're not that bad off. Don't lose heart. Paul said, your light and momentary troubles are achieving for you a glory that far outweighs them all. What if we could convince all of these people that trouble is temporary for the child of God? Temporary. Heaven is eternal. Love is eternal. Forgiveness is eternal. Joy is eternal. But everything on this earth is temporary. I'm telling you, heaven will help us get through anything. Anything. Somebody jumped on me not too long ago and they said, Jim, what's the matter with you? Trying to ease the suffering of people who are in bad situations like that by throwing a couple of verses at them, quoting a few scriptures at them, is like throwing a cup of water on an active volcano. You're doing no good at all. Or it's like telling somebody, a starving nation in Africa, look, in America, we've got plenty of food. You know what I told him? I said, I don't believe that. I said, I believe what God said. We are people who trust in the Lord. And the way that we trust in the Lord is by understanding what He's told us in His Word. The Word of God is alive. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. I am not alone ever in any problem, any time. God is always with me. The angels are always with me. The Holy Spirit dwells inside of us. Jesus said, come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That kind of a rest is what keeps us motivated, and it keeps us going. No matter what we're doing, no matter what trouble we're in, no matter what difficulty we might be having. So how can heaven really help us? How about some proof from some people that you and I know? Heaven helped Paul. You think Paul had a few days of problems? Read 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And then watch him write a letter to Timothy just about the time he was going to die. And he says, Timothy, I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is a crown of righteousness laid up for me. Do you think it helped the people in Revelation? Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. John says, be faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. And they were dying in the Colosseum, and they were dying by wild beasts. They were dying on Nero's crosses. You think it helped? Sure it did. Do you think maybe it helped our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ? We're told in Hebrews chapter 12, take a good look at Jesus. Look to Jesus. He's the author and he's the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, but now is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's our great example. He's the one that helps us to get through the ornery days of this life. But I want you to focus on Stephen. Stephen is preaching his heart out in the 7th chapter of the book of Acts. And just at the end of his sermon, he tells them, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart, you do always resist the Holy Spirit, even as your fathers did. And they stoned him to death. And as they were stoning him to death, he looked up into heaven, and there was Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Now, Shirley and I have had the blessing to tour a lot of areas in southern Italy. We went to the Sistine Chapel, and in the chapel you can see this picture of Jesus standing, and he's looking down as Stephen is being stoned to death. And I looked at that picture, and the picture is a pale, beaten down, somber-looking Christ. And I thought, something's wrong here. That's not my Lord standing there. That's the wrong picture. The artist missed the whole thing. Because Jesus Christ, brethren, is a victorious Christ standing for his family. Even in death, even in a martyr's death, Jesus is always going to be standing victoriously for his family. For instance, ask yourself this question. How can I lead? How can I live a holy life? And the answer? Jesus is on the throne. Jesus is always on his throne. Ask the question, how do I win over these powerful temptations of life? Well, he's stronger than Satan. Didn't he tell us that he was stronger than Satan? How do I overcome sadness and fear and some of those things that just seemed to put humans down? Well, the Hebrew writer said, he never leaves us. He never forsakes us. Where do I get courage? Where do I get faith? Well, I look to Jesus. Why? He's the author and the finisher of my faith. And how do we get on with God's work? How does Forrest Mill do the work of God? It's not by your own ingenuity. It's not by the wisdom of your leaders. It is by the power of Almighty God. He said, you go therefore all over the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, he said, and lo, I am with you always. He'll see that we can get the job done. He'll be with us. Oh, what does it mean to you? What does it mean to you that the Lord was standing at the right hand of God? Here's what it means to me. It means that he's ruling, not Al-Qaeda. It means he's ruling, not the Taliban, not Islamic extremists, not luck, not chance, not nature, and not the U.S. government. He sets up kings, and he removes kings. He's still power. He's still justice. He's still mercy. It tells me that he still loves me and he's personally involved in every facet of my life. You know why? Because God wants me to be more like him. So he gave me his spirit. In the book of Titus, the 3rd chapter in verse 5, it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. That's his work. He is renewing you today. Take another look. He intercedes before the Father. Hebrews 9 and verse 24. He stands before the Father and intercedes for us every day. We are more than conquerors through him who loves us. Romans 8 and verse 37. And finally, this is what's beautiful. We are the most important things in the world to God. If you don't understand that, you need to. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's how much God loves us. And here's the final proof. In the 4th chapter of the book of Acts, Peter and John were being threatened for preaching Jesus. Why? They had spread the name of Jesus all over Jerusalem. People were getting saved, and the authorities were getting mad. And so they brought them in, and they threatened them some more, and they said, we tell you, do not mention this man's name anymore. And Peter said, how can we help but preach the things that we've seen and heard? And so they threatened them again, and they turned them loose, and they went back to their company, and they gathered everybody together, and they prayed together, and the house was just shaken. And here's what they said together. They said, Lord, you are God. Not the Roman government. Not Israel. Lord, you are God. You created the heavens. You created the earth. You created the sea and everything that's in it. You heard their threats, Lord. You know what they've said to us. Lord, grant us boldness, grant us courage, and grant us the signs. And let me tell you what happened now. They set their hearts and their minds on heaven. They remembered who loved them and who was really in charge. And they changed the world. I'm telling you, heaven can help you today. It'll change not only your world, but it'll change your heart. It'll cause you to realize where our power comes from. It'll cause you to put more faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Colossians in chapter 3, and he said, if you've been risen with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of the throne of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we all appear with him in glory. Let heaven change your life. You can start by becoming a Christian. It was heaven that said, except a man be born of the water and the Spirit, he can't enter the kingdom of heaven. It was heaven that told us to turn away from sin. It's called repentance. We all repent. We all need to be baptized. And we all need to fall in love deeper and deeper with God. And let heaven rule our lives. I pray that you'll do that while together we stand and sing.
Watch the mind. seated, please.